This is Brent Kelly. I wrote you a few weeks ago about trying to write a book on the bonus baby era. And is this a good time to talk?
Yeah, it'd be fine.
Okay. First, let me say thank you very much. I appreciate your time. I'm sure you probably have better things you could do with it, but all the help I can get, I need you, believe me. I'll ask you, 10 or 12 questions, and if you would please just answer as short or as long as you want to, and anything you don't want to answer, don't, or if you want to add anything, just please go ahead and do. First, what I found in talking to the bonus babies, the announced bonus and the actual bonus were vastly different in many cases. Yours was announced at 50, was that correct?
Yeah, that was correct.
Okay. Very, very few, like two or three, have been the same.
I think all of ours were correct that they announced.
Okay. Well, talking to the Cardinals, I've talked with Dick Schofield's the only other one. His was accurate, too. I've written your brother and haven't heard back from him. Who was the scout that signed you?
Fred Hahn.
How many teams were after you, or was it pretty much a Cardinals the only one in the ballgame?
Well, basically about four.
Okay. Were there other offers?
The Phillies and the Red Sox and the Cardinals and the Orioles.
Okay, the Orioles did a lot of signing. You know something, that in talking to the bonus babies, the Red Sox were after darn near everybody, but hardly signed anybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's very strange. I've got to look into what the reason for that was.
I think it's because they had a scout down here in Oklahoma and Texas where a lot of players were.
Uh-huh.
And they were paying attention to him, I guess, until they got ready to put the money out. I guess they didn't do it. I don't know.
Did any of them make concrete offers to you?
No, they really couldn't do that until... See, I signed the night I graduated from high school.
Oh, I see.
So I didn't give them any chance to make offers except, Freddie Hahn.
Okay, the Cardinals were the team then, right?
Right.
The team of choice. A lot of you boys came from Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana. Just, I'd say, without figuring it out, probably a third of the bonus babies.
Yeah, and that's out in California.
Yeah, right. Do you, by any chance, this is a hard question, do you know what your high school record was?
Yeah.
Good.
Hitting and pitching, both.
Great.
My batting average was about 613.
Wow.
And we played a spring and fall season of baseball down here in Oklahoma.
Okay, that's nice. That's something we don't get here in Kentucky.
And my senior year record was, I believe, 13-1.
Wow! What kind of how many game schedule did you play?
I think we played about 30 games.
That's a good schedule.
Yeah. That total victories in high school, I'm not sure about that. I don't know what the. I think I only lost about 3 games in high school.
Gee whiz! That's nice. Did you play the American Legion ball?
Yes, uh-huh.
Do you know your record there?
Yes, we won state championship American Legion. We went to the Nationals, but St. Louis beat us, and they won the Nationals. I think my record in American Legion was about 4 losses in 3 years.
Sure were.
And probably about 30 wins, 25-30 wins.
That's all right. I don't know what you see there, but the young pitchers, at least around here, there is no pitching anymore, at least in this area. And I hope there is somewhere in the country. Do you know, one more thing, you were valedictorian?
Yes, I was.
So you pretty much had it knocked any way you look at it, huh?
Well, I had some scholarships offered to me in basketball, too.
Okay. Any temptation there?
Yeah, a little bit. The Abe Lemons was coach at OCU, and that was pretty tempting.
I bet it was.
To go to Abe Lemons. And, of course, I had baseball scholarships offered at University of Texas because Darrell Royal was my dad's first cousin.
Huh.
And so they had a good baseball team down there. And if I didn't go pro, I probably would have done that.
Did you ever end up going to college?
Yes, I went to college.
Finish?
I graduated from UTA in Arlington.
Oh, great.
And I've got about 170 hours of college altogether.
What's your degree?
Accounting and economics and finance.
Wow, that's impressive. Yeah, this may be associated with the amount of money and the ability that the boys had to support themselves. A whole lot, a much, much higher percentage of bonus babies have college educations than non-bonus babies. I haven't figured that out exactly which it is either, what the percentage is, but I'd say at least half of you guys, if not two-thirds, finished college.
It could be that the parents got the kids to say they'd go to school.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Signing the bonus.
Yeah.
They allowed it, yeah.
I've got a son who's a college pitcher, and he wasn't drafted, and he was very hurt out of high school that he wasn't. And I'm really glad, because we'd have had a big, tough fight about college and baseball, I'm afraid. But he's hoping he'll... Well, another year, that's another story. Do you know whose roster spot you took when you joined the Cardinals?
No. See, I signed under that two-year, that two-year bonus rule.
Right.
Is that what the whole book is going to be about?
Basically, it's going to be centered on that five-year period when you fellows had to stay on the major league roster, but it's going to cover the...
In 1957, it was still in effect. 1958, it went out.
Right.
So in 57, I have no idea unless it was some pitcher somewhere, because I came up in the middle of July. I came up during, June, right after I graduated.
Yes, somebody had to go for you to go on there. Most of the guys, in fact, I think Schofield was the only fellow I've spoken with who knew. He took Tom Benson's place, but nobody else knew. I guess it's probably best not to know anything.
Benson?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be. He was one of my coaches.
Yeah. And supposedly, from what I've heard, an exceptionally nice person.
He sure is.
Now, when you joined the Cardinals were not real active in signing the bonus babies, but they had your brother before you and Schofield, and then Bob Miller about the same time as you. What kind of reception did you receive from your teammates, the veteran players?
Pretty good. Probably a better reception after we became active. The ones who didn't get to play much, they didn't like it too much.
Yeah, I can see that.
The ones who became active, I was able to. And I think, 13, 14, 15 games, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 7-5 my first year. So.
I believe, and I'm going to check on this, but I believe you hold the National League record for most wins at the age of 18.
Could be.
Somewhere it was Mike McCormick, but he, at 18, it was the same year you were 18, and he only had three. I'm pretty sure it's you.
Yeah.
Your manager, Fred Hutchinson, had managed over in Detroit, and he'd had all those bonus babies they signed, and most people credit Al Kaline's early success to him, the fact that he was given an opportunity to play. Then he came to St. Louis, and, he had, again, Schofield, he had Lindy, and I guess Lindy probably had only been with the team like a month the previous year when Hutchinson joined them. A very stern, evidently quick-tempered man, but everybody loved him. What was your opinion of him, and how did he work with you?
Very good opinion. But he didn't hesitate to tell you what was on his mind.
Yeah.
He was that way. But you understood that. I think he was kind of a father figure.
Uh-huh.
To most of the players, except the ones that were just as old as he, Walker Cooper or some of those.
Yeah.
But no, he was very much of a father figure, and he had the authority. There was nobody that would back him.
Was he helpful?
Was he what?
Was he helpful?
Oh, yes, he was.
He had been a good pitcher in his day.
Very patient, very patient. And he seemed to manage for the long run season rather than just short term.
Okay, that's good.
Some managers kind of manage for short term, But he knew what the player had to go through during the whole season.
Yeah, the season's going to be 6 months long, no matter how you look at it.
That's right.
What about your coaching? You mentioned Benson, but what about the coaching, the pitching coaches? Who was the pitching coach in St. Louis then?
Hollinsworth.
Oh, yeah.
Hollinsworth. Yeah.
Was he helpful to you?
Yeah, he was good.
One of the complaints the young pitchers, almost to a man, had was that they really didn't have the coaching. pitching coaches on most of the teams were somebody's friend. And in fact, in a couple of cases, it was actually a former infielder. I don't remember without looking back at my notes now, but they had the idea if you were in the majors, you belonged to be in the majors, and you didn't need any help anymore. And this, of course, to an 18-year-old kid is not the right attitude.
Well, I think I was helped because Freddie Hutchinson was a pitcher, too.
Yeah, that has to be important.
Even though he's manager, he actually was a pitcher, so I think that helped me.
I bet it did.
Probably in other situations they were hurt more because the manager himself wasn't a pitcher. You know, could have been the case or something.
Well, you were put in the game pretty quickly after you got there, four innings against the Phillies, one hit. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Scared to death?
Well, we were so far behind the game, there wasn't reason to be scared as far as the game was concerned.
Oh, that's good.
It didn't look like we had a chance to win it. Of course, I was able to keep the ball low and throw strikes. And that's all they told me to do, and it worked.
Yeah, well, that's good advice at any time.
Yeah.
Well, you came back, three or four days later against the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And two hitters, is that right?
No, that was a relief appearance. When I came back a few days later, we were still on a road trip.
Okay, that's right, yeah.
And I came in relief, and that was completely an accident. We were behind six runs, and they started warming me up in the bullpen. And then Usual hit a home run, and then Boyer hit a home run, and then all of a sudden the game was tied up, and the manager looked, and I was the only one warming up. And so I came in, and he ran another pitcher out there, Larry Jackson, I think, throwing real quick, you know. The umpire said, nothing doing. Said, you can't do that. And so I started the game, and I guess if I'd got the first guy on, he'd probably pulled me out. Because by the end of the game, it was tied. We had a tied game.
Uh-huh.
Because the Cardinals had rallied up. I think Measle hit a grand slam or something. And so I kept getting them out, and then I'd come in, and I'd go back out, and I kept getting them out, and then finally they got a double off of me, and he didn't take me out, and he let me pitch, and I got four innings and won the game.
Well, that's pretty good. What about your first start then?
That was against the Dodgers when they came back.
Oh, okay.
We came home and I got to start, about a week or so later against them. Yeah.
And who got the hits, do you remember?
Zeke Snyder got a bunt single, and one other player, I think it might have been that old second baseman they had, not Charlie Neal, but...
Gilliam?
Yeah,
he sure did.
Gilliam got one, and Duke Snyder bunted him over and bunted for a single.
Then you came back, 3 weeks later and one hit the Pirates?
No, that was about maybe a month and a half later.
Was it that long between them?
Yeah, it was later, yeah.
Okay. Who got the hit in that one?
Dusty Baker. Not Dusty Baker. What was that other
thing? Gene Baker?
Gene Baker.
The infielder?
Yeah.
I know that, well, obviously the first game had to be pretty exciting, and these had to be pretty thrilling to you, too. Was there one game, and maybe it's these, that stands out in your memory?
It was probably the game against the Pirates, because I'd lost a couple of games before I won that one.
Mm-hmm.
And to come back in that one, pitch one hitter was pretty exciting.
I bet it was.
It was the second game, the doubleheader. I believe it was on Sunday afternoon.
Okay, you finished your first year 7-5, and I think Mo Drabowski, and again, I've got to dig out my notes. I've got notes piled up to the ceiling. I think he's the only bonus baby pitcher who actually had a better first year record. Of course, he was 3 or 4 years older than you. He'd been to college. And it looked like, it looked like you had the world by the tail and the shoulder. What happened?
I went to college that winter, and I was always active in college, in high school, you know, playing basketball in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
And I got busy studying a lot, and I was not very active. So when I went to spring training, it wasn't that I was out of shape or overweight or anything, but I probably was not as strong as I normally was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started having some back trouble oh, about the middle of spring training. And it was very unusual because I'd not experienced that before. And a lot of people said it was just a matter of me growing older and larger and bigger, you know, and so forth, and getting older. And it could be some of that, but I did notice that I did have a back problem, you know, that plagued me for a long time after that.
And
that caused most of it.
So the back, and adjusting for the back, the shoulder.
Yeah, it was way in the lower back. I do have a small vertebra on one side, and it could be that the more mature I got, then the more problems I had with my back as far as just twisting on the band.
And just the fact of putting on weight is going to affect that too, and as you age, you're going to gain a few pounds.
Just growing up, getting more muscles or whatever.
And were you sent to the minor leagues at that point?
I was sent to the minor leagues about the cut-down date.
What kind of performance did you do there?
I didn't do very well because I stayed as a pitcher, and I think I went to Houston first and then to Winston-Salem before the end of the year. And I think I won about two or three games or something. And then that was 58. In 59, they decided to get me more active and let me play infield as well as pitch, and I did that in D-ball. In Daytona Beach, Florida, Florida State League, and I did very well.
Pitching or hitting or both?
Both. I hit 313 as a regular player with about 70 RBIs, and my record was 13-5 pitching.
Wow.
So I had a good beat.
Was the shoulder and back still bothering you?
It didn't bother me as much when I stayed active like that. But it never, I was not able to relax on the mound like I used to when I was younger. And so the pitching really never really came back like it was earlier.
Well, you eventually, came to the Astros, and you never played for the Astros, actually, but you were in training with them, right? You were an infielder strictly at that point?
Yeah, third base.
You're still, 21, 22 years old then?
Yeah.
Was there a chance to make it at that point, do you think?
Yes, except they had paid a lot of money for a lot of players in front of the Astromati was in front of me. They'd bought him from the Dodgers and paid a lot of money for him. So it probably hurt me a little bit on being able to stick with the Astros.
The Astros at that point were signing anybody who knew which end of the bat to hold, it seemed like, too.
Yeah, I met a lot of them. Yeah.
How long did you stay in the minor leagues?
I played 9 years in the minor leagues.
Geez, I didn't know it was that long.
Yeah.
What levels?
Mostly double A. I played 1 year of D-ball and 1 year of C-ball. And then the rest of them were in double A and triple A.
Okay, and never got another call up?
No, not when the Astros sent me spring training out to do it.
All right, here's a note I have scribbled on the side over here. Did you and Lindy ever pitch in the same game?
It's possible we did in Milwaukee in 1957.
Okay.
I came in relief late in the game that we were behind in.
Mm-hmm.
And then we rallied up and won the ball game the next innings or something. And I wasn't the winner, but I did get the pitch in the innings.
I tried to look that up, and it's a very difficult, without going back to all the box scores.
Milwaukee in the latter, it would have been the latter part of 57 in Milwaukee.
I'll look that. That's narrowed down a great deal. If it's the latter part of the season, I'll look in the last month and see what I can find.
You know, after July and so forth.
Yeah. I'll try to find it anyhow. Some of these things are pretty difficult. I've got to get up to Cooperstown and look up an awful lot of stuff before I can get this thing into actual book form. All right, a real tough question, because you're 18 years old and somebody's waving more money in front of you than you've ever seen before. But give me an opinion of the bonus rule, your opinion.
I think it hurt the players. It was a punitive action against the players
mm-hmm.
for signing for a bonus. And, you know, that's what it was. And, of course, it's ever, all of baseball had is it wasn't just one team that
right.
decided to do it. So I'm not blaming the Cardinals or anybody, but it was an action that made the players inactive, you know. And it couldn't do anything except hurt the player.
Good. Well, I think that's maybe not a universal opinion, but pretty close. Did it hurt the player? You started off well. Did it hurt you?
No, it probably didn't hurt me. It probably didn't because I was able to play.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure it hurt some that had to sit there. I think it hurt Bob Miller. Because he didn't, you know, get much action except to mop up games.
Right.
You know, you don't feel too good doing that.
Well, some of the boys yeah. had 6-7 games in 2 years, and
yeah.
It's awful hard to stay sharp.
No, you wouldn't be in the game very much.
Yeah.
No, your mind wouldn't be in the game, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
I was more fortunate in that I had an older brother on the same team, so that probably made it easier on me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure it had to help, at least in comfort. Who was your roommate with the Cardinals?
My brother.
Was he? That's nice.
Yeah.
If you went back again, it's hard to say because you're 18 and $50,000 is probably more than your dad made in 3 years. Would you do it again? Is there any way to say?
Yes, except the rule is kind of tough. You know,
yeah.
If you had to go to the major leagues, it's kind of tough. Because, you know, when you're 18 years old, you're better off not having to go to the major leagues.
Sure.
That quickly.
Definitely. One thing that, again, maybe because your brother was there might have helped you, but when I first, as I told you in the letter, I don't know if you remember, Jim Small suggested I write this, and he said when he was living at home in high school, he had to be in by 9 o'clock at night. And then he signed and met the Tigers in New York. And he lived in a suburban California. And all of a sudden, he's in a big city. And people are putting their hands out for tips and wanting to carry luggage. And he's got cars running in every direction. He said the adjustment was almost overwhelming to him. Did you find this a problem?
Not as much as probably other people because I had my brother there.
Uh-huh.
And, he warned me about a lot of the adjustments, you know. And I think the first year, as far as when I was home in St. Louis, I stayed in the hotel about, what, 3 or 4 blocks away from the ballpark.
Oh, that's good.
And you know, I stayed there all the time. Of course, he'd come by and pick me up or whatever, and we'd go places. And so forth. And I didn't have a car my first year until that fall when I went to school.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it might be a little bit easier for you. Some of the guys that have been to college, of course, didn't find it like that. But
yeah.
An 17, 18-year-old kid falling into a big city could be pretty tough.
Yeah, it could be pretty tough.
Other than the obvious that you were hurt, any regrets from trying this?
No. I enjoyed it. And, you know, I probably would have enjoyed just being in professional baseball that first year rather than the major league, though. But because of what occurred and the fact that I did have pretty good control of my pitches and so forth, it probably was easier for me. You know, I guess the strong, real hard throwing kids would be the hardest, you know, like Sandy Koufax was when he was young. He had a lot of problems getting the ball over the plate, you know.
Well, it took him,
frustrating.
Took him 6 years to find the plate, I think.
Yeah. Well, he found it when he found it.
Yes, he sure made up for lost time.
Yeah, I remember seeing him play when I was playing, and he was wild when I was pitching.
Ransom Jackson, I guess you remember him, played with the Cubs and Dodgers. So when he went to the Dodgers, he was asked to, that's all that Koufax did pretty much, was throw batting practice. And he said that on days that he was scheduled to throw batting practice, he'd try to see if he could take a little more infield so he wouldn't have to go up there because there's no telling where the ball was going to be. Do you still, do people still remember you? Do you get, I'm not much younger than you. I remember very well, I'm 2 years younger, and I remember when you signed and how good you were doing. I was a pitcher, and I just dreamed that I was going to do the same thing. Of course, I never got the chance. I guess I didn't quite have the talent. And so I remember you quite well, because I really followed you. But do people still remember you?
Yes, Lindy and I went to St. Louis last year under a card program, and we signed autographs. There's only three of us players there.
I'm not kidding.
And then we also went to New York last year for a signing. And I get about five letters a month.
Huh.
From fans.
Well, autograph request?
Yeah.
And do you sign them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know a lot of guys. I went through it with my son a few years ago. He'd write his favorite player, and he'd never get a response back from him.
Yeah.
That's pretty disappointing to a kid. Okay, Vaughn, thank you for your time. This will probably, I suspect, I still got to work for a living, unfortunately, so it's going to take me probably a year to a year and a half to get this in book form. Do you want to see anything that I say about you or from you before it gets sent off to a publisher?
If you just stay honest about it.
Well, it'll be honest. Life's too short to be otherwise.
I wouldn't mind having a copy of the book.
Well, everybody will get a copy of the book. Everybody who's nice enough to take the time to talk to me definitely will get a copy if and when. Writing a book and selling a book, I have found in the past, are two different things, but
yeah.
I think I can. I've at least got a track record so far.
Yeah.
Okay, I might, even though you say no, I might send you part pertaining to you anyhow. I don't want to be, I don't want to say anything anybody doesn't want me to say. And a couple of times, you said absolutely nothing out of line, but a couple of times, a couple of fellows have had second thoughts about things they've said in interviews I've done, and we've had to change them before they went to print. So probably will. I'd feel a whole lot better if you saw it beforehand anyhow, but it'll be quite a ways down the road before we even get there.
All right.
I really appreciate your time, and I've enjoyed it, and thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Good night, sir.